These tools can kind of create superpowers.
These are the worst versions of the tools we will ever use.
Ethics, safety, governance.
This is AI. It's here. And let's see what we can do with it.
Welcome to A Journalist's Guide to AI. I'm Yumi Wilson, your host. I am also a professor at SF State, and I'm working on two books right now that's making me think a lot about artificial intelligence and journalism. So yeah, there's that, right? Because what we're learning is that AI is reshaping almost everything we know. Everything from reporting, storytelling, editing, distribution of the news, the whole business is changing. And so on this show, I talk with journalists, technologists, and communicators who are trying to understand what these changes mean in real time. Because this moment isn't really about whether AI is coming. It's about how we respond to it. A few months ago, I met today's guest at an AI boot camp, and we're going to talk about that more because it's a very exciting moment and will always be for me. But later, we got together, and she told me that her training helped her move leaps and bounds in how she thought about AI. And she was already proficient at it, so that's what's so exciting about this. And then she did something until very recently. It just would have been nearly impossible. She built her own AI-powered news intelligence tool. It's called Unspun AI, and it does a lot. It delivers daily news briefings, source comparison, media bias analysis, and social signal tracking. We're going to learn all about that later. But the thing I think that is something that I want to stop and talk about is that she has no formal engineering background. She's not a coder. She didn't work at, Google and all these other tech companies. And on top of that, she built this product in 2 weeks. Now, of course, she's doing the iterations that one does when you want to make a product better. But just imagine what that means today. And so we get a chance to talk about all of this. And we also kind of get this to understand like how communicators, journalists, and others might not just use AI, but start building with AI. And we're also going to talk about on this program a little bit, I hope, about AI summaries and how they are changing the economics of journalism. And I'd love to get into a conversation about how search itself is evolving. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest, Nikita Locaretti. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited for our conversation today and to dive into all things building SEO / AEO, GEO, and yeah, just all things AI.
We need all of that. AEO, GEO, oh my goodness. So, but before we get into all of that, I wanted to have our listeners and our viewers understand a little bit more about your journey.
Yeah.
So tell us, fill us in. What led you to the point where we are going to be talking about the product that you built?
Yeah.
By the way, product is an interesting word right now, isn't it?
It really is. And I think I started my career in like PR marketing, how a lot of folks do. I started at an agency, working with clients across industries. We were doing everything from building websites to doing their SEO strategies, their social, their email marketing, like really the whole gamut. And about a year into my career, my agency actually shifted and specialized in just building websites and SEO. So I was really, really under the hood of creating content, doing keyword research, and all the fun stuff that come with SEO. But a big part of that is getting backlinks, right? Like increasing your domain authority, making sure Google and different search engines see you as an authoritative source on the internet. And my founder at the time had coined this term called digital PR, which he was like a Forbes contributor. It was getting our CEOs and leaders of our clients these opportunities to weigh in on thought leadership on the internet and get them high quality and also like not spammy backlinks, right? Like good quality people coming in and recognizing the company and, you know, what their leaders were saying online. And that's kind of how I found myself in PR. I think a lot of people find marketing and PR to be like sister industries. It's really easy to find yourself in one and be like, oh, the other one's cool. I want to learn about that. And that is, I made the jump from digital marketing into digital PR and worked for Amazon for a few years, which was amazing. Like, what a better place to learn than somewhere where like news stories are coming, you know, a mile a minute, really. So it was super, super awesome to be there, learn from some of the best in the business. And most recently, I was at Bechtel doing their AI and communications strategy. Really, the last few months have been about like everything AI, right? Like, how are we crafting our content? How can we make better like creative assets? And in that came a lot of research, right? Like, new tools are coming out every day. Really, the only way to learn is to play. And that's when I downloaded Claude Code, and a little hackathon weekend project turned into what I'm calling today Unspun AI.
That is amazing. I want to talk more about Unspun. In fact, we're going to hear a lot more about it. But before we go there, at the most recent conference workshop that I attended, you know, through P World, which is where we met in October, I went to LA in February, and one of the main speakers was from Amazon. And I wonder, like, when you were at Amazon, was AI even a thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. And we had an internal team that I actually worked alongside that was responsible for like creating operations and technology for a few things to really like help turbocharge our department, whether that was, you know, helping with media monitoring and, you know, crafting different tools to help like with like speaker automations and submissions and stuff like that. There was like traditional tools, and like there was a lot of innovative products being built. But in terms of like AI supercharging those products into like what they are now, because I still have a lot of amazing colleagues at Amazon who touch base with all the time.
Good.
It was kind of like, I think like the ramp up that like led to all those foundational products, which I'm sure they're making new ones every single day. That's like where the foundation was really laid. And then like the AI component plugging those in have made them like incredible today. But again, like everybody, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a comms person, whether you're a journalist, like these tools are getting better every single day. And there's no limit as to like what you can build. And I think it'll be easier and easier to build like as days and weeks pass.
Agreed. I cannot tell you how each day I pop onto, whether it's Claude, Notebook, whatever it is, chat, I pop onto it and I'm like, wait a minute, that tool did not do that yesterday. I'm happy. I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed at the speed in which we are traveling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to jump to Bechtel. You had mentioned when you were working there. Now I'm hearing that you have left this company to really dive in fully as an entrepreneur. How?
Yeah.
I mean, how is this possible? Tell us more. I'm sure there are many people out there who are thinking, how'd you do it? Because I want to do it too.
Yeah. And you know, that is like all to say, like, Bechtel was like amazing. I loved my team doing really, really cool work. I just found myself at an opportunity where, you know, like this moment is only going to happen once. Like, there is such amazing things happening in AI and happening in tech. And whether it's taking the time to tinker and build alongside interviewing and talking to other AI companies to really like make a full bet and surround myself with people who like are really energized by like this moment in technology. That's really what I've been doing. So I've kind of come out to San Francisco. I've been building, meeting with people, talking with different companies. And I'm really excited for this to not just be, you know, a hobby, but really like to be the cornerstone of my career and what I do day in, day out.
All right. Well, let's get back to Unspun AI. When you were at that hackathon, mm-hmm. was the idea to create a tool for your teammates, for your the employees at Bechtel? Was it something that you were doing to improve, you know, the workflow and what you produce?
Yeah, it's a great question. And hackathon is a word I'm using very, like, liberally. There was a snowstorm on the East Coast, and me and my boyfriend were like, well, we can't leave the house, so what should we do? We should have a hackathon. And he's an engineer, so I was like, I'm going to lose this hackathon. I've also never coded before. Like, I downloaded Claude Code that day. And, like, after an all-day Saturday, all-day Sunday, I really started with, like, what is taking me the most time that I think some sort of automation, some sort of technology could help me? And I think whether you're a journalist, whether you're in comms, whether you're just a news junkie, like, the news is, it's very noisy, right? Like, there are a lot of different outlets telling you the same story from different perspectives, having different layers of bias, fact checking. You know, there's also, like, the internet layer and people sharing, you know, real life responses. It takes a long time to read every perspective, fact check, get to, like, what are the cross corroborated facts. And then also, like, having space to just digest facts and then form opinions for yourself, as opposed to, like, reading it all at once and inheriting somebody or a reporter's here or there's interpretation of that story. And so I was like, I'm going to build something that looks across all of these different news stories, figures out what are the overlapping facts that multiple sources are corroborating, and put that in an AI summary. So that way I can read it, I can see exactly who is reporting on it, what their potential bias will be. Are they left-leaning, right-leaning? Is a single source reporting? Are there multiple in the field right now? And then, like, what are people on X saying? Like, are they responding negatively, positively? So you can kind of get, like, that crowdsourced information. And a lot of the times it's mixed, which is a good sign, right? Shows, like, multiple people have differing interpretations of a story or just general reactions. And that was, you know, the baseline of my algorithm. I added in a lot of variables and how things are scored and what makes something important, what makes something verifiable. And I just did it all in Claude, talking to it as if I had, like, a personal engineer at my side, because that's really what it is.
Even code if code vibing.
Yeah, like, vibe coding. That's really vibe what I was coding. Doing. Like, I was sitting there and I was just chatting back and forth. I've had the pleasure throughout my career of working with really, really smart engineers. And yeah, I think engineers might agree with me, and also, like, project managers, whatever have you. This is the only one that, like, won't get annoyed at you no matter how many rounds of edits, be like, oh, I didn't mean that, I meant this. Like, and it just keeps going and it keeps trying and doing new things. Right. And it made it for me.
No. A lot of people, maybe not a lot, but some people are going to wonder, well, your boyfriend's an engineer, so did you get any
No, because we were in a competition. He was not helping me. He was, we were
Top chef competition level.
Listen, it was serious during that snowstorm, but it was, like, it was great because, like, we had this hackathon, like, it was fun. And I think, like, the big thing for when you sit down and decide you want to build something, I think, like, the first thing anybody makes, like, make something for yourself. Make something that will help you in your life. Like, your first project doesn't have to be, like, I'm going to go create something that's going to, like, change the lives of tens of thousands of people, because then you're taking in so much. Like, make something for yourself that's fun and that's cool that, like, you'll actually use. And you might find that other people like it and want to use it too.
Most transcription tools are not built for journalists or academics, but this one is. I'm Yumi Wilson, host of A Journalist's Guide to AI and a broadcast journalism professor, and I've been using GoodTape in my own workflow. Right away, it's clear. This is designed for serious work. You get speaker labels that actually make sense, smart search, so you can find key moments instantly, and AI summaries that help you move faster. You can upload files in bulk, organize everything in one place, and even work across their apps and notes systems seamlessly. And most importantly, it's secure. We're talking ISO certified and GDPR compliant, which is critical
when you're handling sensitive material. If you're working in journalism or academia, good tape isn't just a nice to have, it's a must have. Try it yourself at goodtape.io.
I also think, just to build on what you're saying, make something fun, make something for yourself is so true. Mm-hmm. But I do want to add another level to what I'm hearing. And I think what is true, the expertise that you already had within you, you were able to kind of go, here is what I do on a daily basis. And it takes a lot of my time. Mm-hmm. Now, I want a solution through the AI tools that I'm using, but I also have enough knowledge and expertise to be able to say, here is the problem. Let me spell out all components of the problem. Mm-hmm. And then as the AI tool, you know, in this case, Claude said, well, here's a solution or here's what we're thinking. You were able to probably push back mm-hmm. and say, no, that's not quite right. And so I do want to throw that into the conversation because I think sometimes, you know, people might think, well, I'll just go on and I will get the tool AI mm-hmm. to come up with, you know, a solution. But I think without the knowledge of the problem, without those pain points of either personally being involved in it or doing enough research to know what's really going on, I don't think the output would be as strong.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like I am like, if I was trying to make a app tomorrow, right, that could like do all my stocks and all my trading and everything for me. And like, that would be great. I do not have the expertise in that to like push back, like right when Claude writes its plan of this is how I'm going to do it. Like there is like a little bit of, oh, like that's the right way, that's the wrong way, you should iterate your plan in this fashion. So I do think like if you're going to make something, which I will stop and say, everyone should go and try to make something. What that something is should be something that excites you, motivates you, and that you have unique knowledge and can really orchestrate how you want it built. Because I think some people might find it intimidating of like, oh, I'm supposed to just go and start coding. Like, what if it does it wrong? I don't know how to read code. I don't know how to debug. I did not either. And it's really just about like, I had specialized knowledge on this one thing. And I could, if you can sit down with an engineer and pour your knowledge into that engineer for them to make something, that's exactly what this is. Yeah. It's just in your computer.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
For a lot of project managers.
Yeah. It was a game changer for me.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I want to bring this up, too, because I know that some of the listeners and the viewers bring this up. It's a real concern, right? So, like, privacy, security, mm-hmm. data, you know, I mean, what are your thoughts about how people should go about sharing information and you know, do you train the LLM? Do you change your settings? Mm-hmm. Do you advise people to use their own tools? Or, you know, if they're working at a company, should they use the enterprise tools? Those are the questions that often come up in my training sessions that I've been involved in. And then certainly when we were at P World mm-hmm. In October, we heard that. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think it's a great question. Because of course, like when you're making something, it's always important to like recognize your context. If you're creating something on behalf of your company or your enterprise, like there's a lot of what like people are coining like shadow AI, where people are using mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. unsanctioned products because their company may not necessarily like have the tools or subscriptions on hand. It really depends on like what the product is that you are building, right? Like for Unspun, like this is looking at everything that's already publicly on the internet. You're not really like, it doesn't access my personal email or my calendar or like anything like that. Of course, like if you are, you know, setting up your own OpenClaw or something like that and like trying to decide.
Can we take a moment to talk a little bit about what OpenClaw is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's essentially this open source tool that will allow you to create your own AI personal assistant, as you will. You can give it, you know, a personality. You can give it access to your email. You can give it a phone number so you can WhatsApp it or text it. And, you know, it'll do a lot of things for you, depending on how much access you give it.
So let's stop there for a moment, simply because we are talking about privacy and security and risks. And so OpenClaw, what are your thoughts on that? Would you use it? Do you use it?
Yeah, I have an agent set up, but it has its own email address. It doesn't connect to any of my own. And it's great. Oh. I mean, I'll like use Telegram to chat with it. It will help me do like research. I mean, I use it for like fun things like, hey, I'm in San Francisco this week. Can you help me find like cute coffee shops to go to that, you know, have nice remote work vibes, have good coffee? You know, I use it for like research, things like that. But I know some people who are 10 levels ahead of me and it's buying, you know, their groceries on Amazon. And it's like really, really incredible. But there's a lot of other tools out there that can replicate that same OpenClaw environment that you don't have to give it that much access. So again, tools are evolving every single day. And I think that you can find a tool that like does not get you into like a state of anxiety in terms of like what it has access to and doesn't. And if it doesn't exist, you can build it yourself.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, people in the room, we are going to go build something today. Actually, for fun, I was on Claude the other day and I had a long weekend workshop and I learned a lot. And Susan Stageman teaches this class I took. And I was trying to figure out, like, how am I going to retain all of this information that I've just learned? And it's very valuable. So I basically pulled from public resources once again, you know, so not using, you know, people's information, and then said, hey, I want to learn an interactive way to learn these skills. And so I could memorize them. And Claude, within minutes, built an app that like does flip cards and really interactive, beautiful colors. And I was like, yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are.
It's so, it's so cool. Like there is no, the only limit to what you can build is your own creativity. And I mean, that has like always like been true if you are a programmer or like, you know, how to code and develop, but like anyone can build anything now. And I think that like, that's really cool. And not to mention, you can make it super fast. Like I made this platform that like I use every day. Some of like my friends who are in PR, some of my friends who are just like to read the news, you know, use to get like their news because they're like, this is a really cool format. Like, I really like it. I really enjoy it. And that's cool that, like, I made something for myself that other people want to use too. And it really motivates me. So I've pushed a couple, like, new features live just in the last week. You can now make customized profiles, right? And, like, curate what you want in your briefing. Like, what industries do you want to follow? What companies? What people, like, do you actually care about? So you can further weed out news that may not interest you. It has an 11 Labs integration now, so you can just get your morning briefing while you're making your cup of coffee. And now there's a share button, so you can immediately share stories, whether that's through text, email, putting it in on Slack. Like, it was so cool. And I built all of these those three features in like a couple of days.
That is not only amazing, that is inspiring. In having you have brought up like who is, you said some of your friends, but let's talk about your audience. Who are the people this tool is for? Like who should be signing up for Unspun AI now?
Yeah, I'm so happy you asked that because it's actually something that's evolving. Like when I built it, I was obviously the only customer. Like I built it for myself. And then I started demoing it for like my friends at work in PR at different places, whether that was at Bechdel, at Amazon, at Snapchat, at, you know, like different tech companies. And I was like, give me your thoughts. Like, is there anything that like would make this better? Like, are there any like bugs that you're seeing? And like, actually, it was great. Like, the reason why I made like the X API and that whole like quadrant was because one of my friends who works in social media was like, these stories are really interesting, but like, I want to see what people are saying online. Like, is this getting pickup? And should I flag it to my head of social for like us to retweet or, you know, do something like that? And I think that that was the game changer. When I started demoing it and getting feedback, I started realizing they weren't just being like, oh, this thing you built is really cool. It was, I would actually use this or this would be really valuable to me if it could do this. And then I was like, oh, like, if I build, they will come.
So here's what I'm hearing also, and this is a great tip for all, is, you know, you build something, but then take the time, get the feedback, get all of that criticism and think of it as good, not bad.
Yeah.
And then and go back. And that's the beauty of this, of what we're in now, because it's so easy to go back and say, this isn't quite right. Let's run it again. Let's do it again. And as you mentioned, right, if you were working with an engineer and saying, it's not right, let's do it again, 13th time the day, it might become a problem, right?
And to any of the engineers I've worked with that may be listening to this, I just want to say, I'm sorry. But to go back to your original question, like, I was the original customer, and then I was like, oh, like, this could be for other, like, PR people. And then I was like, oh, like, this is bigger than PR. This is for, like, news junkies around the world, right? Or people who aren't news junkies and actually have a lot of frustration with the news and how much bias is in it, but they like current events and they want to stay up to date, whether that's in politics, in, you know, finance or tech. Like, this is a product for everybody because, like, this is current events. It's like the world around us. Everybody wants to consume knowledge. And so I am building this for anybody who is looking for knowledge or in the world around them.
So Unspun AI is available as an app?
So it's a website.
How do I?
Yeah, it's a website right now. So it's unspun-ai.com. And
we'll put it in the show notes as well. So unspun-ai.com.
Yeah. And you can access it. It's great on mobile, on your iPad, on, you know, anything that has an internet connection.
Okay. Real quick before we get to our second topic, which is, you know, because you mentioned engineers, I'm sure you've heard this question and this issue come up, which is, you know, a lot of people are worried about losing their jobs, engineers among them. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on, as AI gets progressively better, what does the future mean for human beings?
Yeah. I mean, I believe it was Jeff Bezos who said, once upon a time ago, like, you would have a safer bet on what's not going to change than, like, what's going to change. Like, everything is going to change. Like, what will remain the same is probably going to be, like, very few things. But I think it's, like, everything is going to, like, reiterate and, like, look and feel new. And everyone's going to be able to build. Like, there are still some things that, like we talked about earlier, you have to have the specialized knowledge to, like, build something unique. And I am not disillusioned that, like, I could build something as complicated and nuanced as somebody who has, like, a decade in engineering or a degree in engineering or, like, is creating these, like, incredible infrastructures that power these AI tools and things like that. So I think it's going to evolve in terms of what does, like, the job landscape look like today. Like, I think it's going to be revolutionized, but I think everyone's going to be, like, more productive. Everyone's going to be able to ship faster. Everyone's going to be able to, you know, like, bring, like, have the thrill of seeing an idea come to life. And I think that that is motivating regardless of what you work in. But of course, like, I think fear is normal, right? Like,
And also engineers use AI, right, to code. So it improves their output as well. It's not that they're not using it. And
I mean, I think that, like, there are people who run software companies that are, like, using AI to, like, make their products better. So, like, if you're like a legacy software system, it's not like everyone's going to stop using Salesforce and HubSpot tomorrow. Like, no one's going to go be like, oh, I can go make my own, like, complicated, like, infrastructure, like CRM. Like, why do I need? Those tools are incredible, highly functional, highly powered. And I don't think people are going to, like, abandon those products overnight. And I think engineers are there to, like, implement these new features as the tools get better, iterate, have, you know, new capabilities.
And be the experts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You mentioned HubSpot, mm-hmm. and I want to, this is a perfect segue into the next question, the traffic question. Tension, I think one of the tension moments right now is that people, well, maybe it's not a tension moment for the consumer, mm-hmm. but consumers are choosing how to get their information. So a study by SparkToro found that nearly 59% of Google searches in the US now end without a click to another website. So the question that many journalists and actually many content providers, including HubSpot, because they've seen the number of people clicking through from a search to their sites drop, is how, if more people get their information without clicking through, what happens to content providers like HubSpot, like the New York Times, like all of the news providers out there? Yeah, website traffic down roughly third in some cases. What are your thoughts on that? And are there solutions that anyone who provides information and content and depends on those clicks can do?
So I think that this is a phenomenon that touches everybody, regardless of whether you are on the publisher and whether you are in PR marketing representing a company. Like, this hits all of us. Like, actually, I think it really like bans all players in this industry together. And the main thing that might, right, there's all of these vanity metrics that we see, right? Of like, oh, there are these clicks that we need to report on. We want to show that like traffic is increasing and all these things. But at the end of the day, our goal as communicators, as journalists, as everything has always been to get people the information that they need and that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And the way that they are now getting that information looks different. They're not like having to comb through 5-6 different links on like the SERP page of Google to like really get their answer and go sort through like years of spammy SEO content that unfortunately does live on the internet. Like, these tools are going and they're getting you the answers you need in a single format. And yes, there are readers who just want to see the answer and they click out and they're done. They're like, great, that's what I was looking for. But I think the people who are really on the thirst for knowledge, like, are still going and seeing like, where are these sources? Because I think, I think there's everyone that can vouch for has gone on and has been like ChatGPT or Claude or what have you, like, this is a hallucination. It is making up this fact. I can't source this. Like, I don't actually know where it's getting this information. And that comes in and you see that of like, I do want to know what this source is. I do want to further investigate. Or they're asking like a follow-up question of like, okay, where are you getting this information? Or they're, you know, trying to go deeper and deeper into something. And I think the creation of the content is still what leads to these AI chatbots having an answer.
That's true.
And so the content creation, it's not like we just stop, right? Because we're trying to inform mm-hmm. now these LLMs so that way they can turn around and give their users the right answer. So it's not so much about like, oh, what do we do? Our clicks have dropped a third. It's more about like, how do we make sure that like our content is being sourced and referenced by the LLMs so that way users know that they're still getting accurate content from us directly. And a lot of like, I mean, there was no such thing as like really like an LLM algorithm like there was for like the Google algorithm, but there's a lot of things. You can go and talk to Claude or ChatGPT right now and be like, how do you determine, or like, how do you rank your sources when you're giving me an answer? And it will tell you, is like amazing, right? You don't have to like sit around and guess like what's happening behind the screen. Like, it will just tell you like, oh, this is important because of this. This is verified because of this. This is resounded on the company's press release. So like, that's how I know it's a fact. And like, that's really powerful.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like it will fact check. I love asking this question, fact check your work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
tell me why the links are broken.
Yeah. Well, truly, I feel like that's why, I mean, I'm a big Perplexity user. Like, I love like the inline sources, especially when I'm doing like, whether it's like putting together briefing books or doing deep dive research. Like, that's my go-to for that reason of like, mm-hmm. I like to know my sources, and I still click into the sources because sometimes I want to get that spot quote. So I think all that to say, like, it is absolutely right that there is going to be a drop in clicks, but that doesn't mean that there's a drop in, like, there's not a drop in engagement in your content. You're just not going to be able to measure it the way you have been measuring it, if that makes
sense. That's a really great way to look at things, because I think there's so many articles now about, you know, the dire impact of the zero click, but looking at how one can change their own strategy. Mm-hmm. And I think People Incorporated is among the companies that have kind of figured out how to grow mm-hmm. and gain more subscribers at a time when that click-through rate is dropping.
Yeah. Well, even like Bing came out with their developer tool where like you can see now like your LLM citations, like maybe in the what we as marketers and, you know, publishers have been using and counting as engagement, right? Of like, oh, we saw like 3.5 million clicks in this period of time. It's going to be like, wow, we generated 7 million LLM citations. Like maybe that's right. Just the new metric.
That I think you're onto something. That was definitely the discussion at the last P World conference that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
How to rank high mm-hmm. in the LLMs.
Yeah. And I think something playing with, I've not really like cracked the code on it. I think if I did, I'd be shouting it from the rooftops everywhere. But like as a user, right, when you're looking at the answers the LLMs are giving you, they love bulleted lists. They love charts.
Yes.
They love like this almost what I feel is an at a glance format. And I think that there is something to you structuring your content, whether it's a blog, whether it's these like visual assets that it can borrow from. I think the more you make the LLM's job easy because it's not having to like take your content and turn it around and reformat it and shoot it to that user in under 5 seconds, the more you can mirror that format, the better, because people clearly like that format, right? Like I think the days where people are sitting down and reading a 7,000 word article to like get what they want, like people are like time poor. They're trying to like get their information fast, get their downloads. And I think that there could be benefit if you're, you know, wanting to experiment in the AEO, GEO, like era of your website or your content. Like maybe like start taking cues from the way the LLMs format their content and see what happens if you put like an at a glance bullet at the top of your blog, if you incorporate charts and comparison data there. I think it could be really interesting to see how that impacts LLM citations.
That is a great tip for the AEO, GEO strategy that we are currently in.
Mm-hmm.
What is one more tip
I think
that you would give? There are many,
yeah.
But I'm just saying, just for time's sake,
yeah.
What's one more good tip that people can take away today and say, I'm going to try that out?
Yeah, there are like specialized AEO, GEO influencers out there who like post things on LinkedIn, X. I follow a bunch of them. So like, what I say today could be like totally outdated in like 2 days or debunked, but I think more,
all true,
yeah,
all true.
I think more than anything, like you should go look at what tools exist out there on the market, because there are some really incredible ones that like do a lot of like your heavy lifting. Like I was just looking at one the other day called WriteSonic that essentially goes and will use AI to do the keyword research and do the, you know, like keyword gap analyses and really like surface all those insights for you and then turn around and like do proposals on what content you should be making to fill those. And for a long time, like that was like the in the trenches work of SEO, right? Like you're going through like Ahrefs and all these things to like find like, oh, like my competitor is ranking for this keyword that has this much approximated traffic and this is what I would need. Like you can just like invest in a tool, and there's a lot of tools out there that do this very well that will do that heavy lifting for you. So that way you can create the time to do A/B testing. And I think like all that to say, like that is the pro tip, like A/B test, experiment, see what works. And when you find what's working like for you, pour into that, because as the LLMs get like smarter and evolving and new models come out every day, you're going to have to evolve in your content strategy too. So I think the name of the game is experiment.
All right. As we start to wrap up, I wanted to focus on students for a moment.
Yeah.
So if you were speaking to a class at a Substate, for example.
Yeah.
And telling them about what you did and accomplished and are continuing to do in the AI space, what might you suggest to students who are in the communications media related fields of today and hoping to find, you know, quality, you know, find work, you know, that pays an affordable wage, and but also just to do good work? What would you say to them?
Yeah, it's funny, and I might date myself a little bit with this advice, but like, I remember when I was like coming into the workforce, like I was that first crop of like graduates who were social native, if you want to call that. Like I grew up in like saw like Instagram and like Snapchat. Like I was able to get my first name as my username. Like that's how early in the game I was, right? So like versus people who were in the field and then were like, oh, I have to build this skill set. I have to learn this thing in real time. Like I grew up with it. Like I was social literate going in. And I think that, and I don't say that to erase that like job market is, it's tough, right? Coming out as a, like a new grad and things like that in this environment. But like, you also have a superpower where like you grew up like with this, or like it's new enough that like you've are really literate. Like you understand it in ways people who are trying to play catch up, like don't yet know. And I think really showcasing that like through projects is really, really powerful. So if you don't have a personal website, make one, like get a Squarespace, get a WordPress, like show off your technical skills. Like, are you really, really good at AI, like image creation? Like that's something that like people are not yet good at, right? They're using Nano Banana, they're using things, but like there's this incredible account like on Instagram called Studio Miso. And every time I see their images, I'm like, oh my God, this could be a campaign. Like this is beautiful. Like it's visually stunning.
Studio Miso.
Yeah. And it's,
check that
oh my
out.
God, it's so good. They have like these Apple headphones, like this visualized collaboration with Bottega. And I saw it and I was like, is this real? Like it was incredible. It was stunning. But like, if you know how to do things like that, like you're really good at image creation, you're really good at video, or you're really good at building, like I would make those things, get your personal website and start a portfolio, because you may not have like the 10 years of comms experience working for like the Googles and the Microsofts and stuff like that of the world. But like, that doesn't mean that you can't have a very robust visual portfolio.
Okay. And then would you advise some students are on the fence, if you will, or even behind the fence, they don't want to use AI. Do you think that that's like, what would you recommend? Like when you have been in environments where you're working in the capacity of marketing and media and, and, you know, comms and PR, all of that. What's the discussion like? Are they saying, hey, you've got to have these skills, you've got to know how to use it, or don't worry about it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that one thing that I would turn around is I would just figure out what is your why? Like why? Do you not want to use AI? And I would dive into like almost like prove yourself like wrong on that. Like go and digest like some, whether it's like influencers who are like really in the space and are using it. Like, because if your conception is like, I don't want to use AI because the tools are not like good and like I can write better than the AI could, like, go see if that's really true. Because I think that when you see it like up close and personal and you realize like the tools are really good and they're, it's not so much like replacement as it much like adds and improves your product, whether that's helping you get to your final draft quicker, whether that's helping you copyright if that's not your strong skill, like see it as your partner in crime, if you will. And I think that all that to say, like, there's like that whole, to your point earlier about like feeling scared, right? Of like, is this going to take my job? I think everybody on the internet has said it, but I think it rings very true. I don't think it's going to take your job, but I do think someone who knows how to use it might.
Got you.
Because they might just be able to deliver a little bit faster. And like sometimes, especially in the world of media, like 20 minutes makes a difference. 20 minutes makes a world of difference. And this can help you, like, do it in five.
Yeah. And even news companies at the structural level, the Associated Press, Financial Times, you know, dozens of news companies have, kind of integrated AI into their workflow systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the individual level, there's still kind of a wall up in terms of original writing and reporting and all that.
Yeah.
But I think that the other areas of like SEO or now AEO and GEO, headline writing, mm-hmm. caption writing, summarization, heliograph at the Washington Post, I believe it is. I mean, there's just so many examples of how AI is helping in terms of mm-hmm. the workflow itself.
Yeah.
So that may also be something for people to study and investigate and,
yeah.
and to understand as they enter this marketplace.
Yeah. And I mean, especially this is a cool time. Like maybe it's because you're not destined to work for somebody else. Maybe it's because like you're destined to make something on your own and be a one woman, one man show and like create something really special and go out into the marketplace and sell it. Like maybe you're meant to be an entrepreneur and this is like going to help you explore like that. So I feel very optimistic because I think that this is just an incredible technology that anybody can utilize to turbocharge, whether that's to create your own business, do your existing job better, get you a different job in an industry that you've always wanted to work in. Like, I think that this is going to be a time of high growth and high movement, and it's a bullet train. So you should jump on while it's taking
Shinkansen.
Off.
Yep. Thank you. And with that, I want to thank Nikita Locaretti for joining us today on A Journalist's Guide to AI. She is the founder of Unspun AI. And if you have not checked it out, please do it. Now we'll have the website on in the show notes. Let me just say it now, unspun-ai.com. And you can learn more about her work at Nikita Locaretti. That's all one word. And again, I'll have that in show notes, but it's nikitalocareddy.com. Correct?
Yes.
All right. So again, Nikita, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been such a blast to talk about all these things. And before we sign off, I also have to say, if you have not gone to a P World boot camp or any of these events that Yumi is going and talking and educating people at, you must attend. Like, I credit that boot camp and your particular session with really motivating me. Like, I think that was where I took the training wheels off of my bike, and now I'm on a bullet train. So just like
Yay!
Everything that you shared, from like the four part prompt, I took it back to my team. Like, it has helped everybody like around me, myself included, grow and get smarter. And if you have the opportunity to sign up for any of these and go and learn from Yumi, I know you're learning through this podcast, but really being in person it's such a game changer.
Well, what do I say after that? Mic drop. Again, thank you. I hope to continue to watch your work, see you grow. And I'm very excited for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks again, everyone, for listening and watching A Journalist's Guide to AI. If you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button, please do. It really helps us to grow. And leave a review or connect with me on LinkedIn. Let me know what you're thinking. If you need some training and some workshop, just hit me up. All right, until next time.